Welcome to part three in training presentations for preparing a simple shape from shading renderings of lunar domes using Carlotto's method and Microsoft Excel. In this third and final part, we will convert our original source images to text data and import that digitized version of the image into the digital elevation model spreadsheet demcarlotto.xls. Next slide, slide two. In part one, we talked about how Carlotto's method simplifies computation by rotating the user's image so that the apparent azimuth of the sun is always at 270 degrees. In this part, we'll run through some of the rotation steps and the supplemental methods that you use to convert an image into a digitized text file, which is an N by M matrix that contain the brightness values of the pixels from the image. The brightness values of the pixels usually have a range of between 0 and 255 or 255. That is the limit, that is the range of brightnesses inside a grayscale JPEG file. Next slide, slide 3. To keep you on track, inside demcarlotto.xls and also in the training materials is a step-by-step checklist. We're going to be doing approximately steps 1 through 11 shown on the slide. If you get lost, you can always go back to the checklist and get back on track. Next slide, slide 4. In this presentation, we'll need to manipulate astronomical images. Everybody has their own favorite package. Maximum DL is one that's commonly used by advanced imagers. I tend to use AIP for WIN, so that's what I'll be using. Please just use the corresponding features in your astronomical imaging package of choice. This presentation relies upon various freeware pieces of freeware software. These need to be installed. If you haven't installed them, go back to the project website and you can find links for Mosier and Bondo's Lunar Terminator Visualization Toolkit or tool. We'll be using that for image rectification, and also HIRSAC's FV tools. That takes an image and converts it into a CSV, comma-separated value text file. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 5. There, in the training directory, there's also a sample image that was donated courtesy of Paolo Lazzarotti of the Cauchy Omega Dome. I'd like you to go through the steps of rotating it to the apparent azimuth of solar azimuth of 270 degrees. If you don't have any astronomical imaging, astronomical image processing software, the rotations is a straight 180 degree horizontal flip. You can do that inside of Windows Paint. And let's go to the next slide, which is slide 6. So here's what we're going to try to learn in part 3, how to rotate the image, how to rectify it to offset foreshortening. We'll convert your color fits lunar image into an 8-bit grayscale with nice uniform 0 through 255 brightness levels using HIRSAC's FE tools. We'll convert your grayscale rotated image into a CSV or comma separated value text file, and then finally we'll import that data into demcarlotto.xls. Part two in this series covers the steps after you have your data into DemCarlotta method.xls of how you convert that information into a three-dimensional digital elevation model, or DEM, that can be viewed in a VRLM browser as a 3D object. Let's go to next slide, and slide 7. A lot of steps to this process. They're not complicated. There's just a large number of them. Again, you have the image process checklist. Is the processing checklist is inside DemCarlotta method.xls and is also in the reference materials. The steps are fairly self-explanatory, so let's proceed on to slide 8, which is the next slide, slide 8, and you can see we have some more steps to work through. And let's go to the next slide, slide number 9. The first step in the process is to rectify the image using to reduce the impact of foreshortening. In DemCarlotta method.xls, I do not have a utility to convert your digitized image and to correct it for foreshortening. There are a number of processing reasons for doing that. The freeware LTVT by Jim Mosier and Heinrich Bondo appear to do a good job of that process, and I recommend that you rely on it. However, LTVT works off of JPEG, not FITS images, so you'll need to use your astronomical processing software to convert your color FITS into a JPEG file. Next slide, slide 10. Now, after you've done that process, we're going to now rectify the image using LTVT. We'll do a brief overview. You're basically going to have to download LTVT and study the user guide that goes with it. It's not a complicated piece of software to use. Took me about 20 minutes really to figure out how to make it work efficiently. The first step doesn't involve your rectification, doesn't involve your user image. You want to display the area in LTVT that's around the region where your lunar image is. It's possible to install a high resolution full near side Clementine or full moon Clementine image as the background for the LTVT screen. That's what you're looking at here. Another file option that you can download from Jim Mosier's Bondo's website is a set of the Uniform Lunar Control Network 2005 version control points. These are control points for registering, that can be used principally to register photographs to known positions on the lunar surface. There's within 30 degrees north and south lunar latitude and east and west lunar longitude, that's the region that you generally apply shape from shading or SFS imaging. The control points have an uncertainty between I believe somewhere around 300 to 700 horizontal meters and about 150 to 200 vertical meters. Even with that error, it's still an effective tool to match two points on a known model of the lunar spheroid and match those to two points on your user image. Once you can do that point matching, then it's a matter of applying mathematics, some mathematical algorithms that will rectify your image and hopefully correct for foreshortening. Let's go to the next slide, slide 11. this slide shows the next step in the process of calibrating a user image to LTVT's model of the lunar globe. The image here is really for illustrative and demonstrative purposes. It's an excerpt from an old lunar orbiter image. Technically, you shouldn't be using that, but we can see what the steps are and how to use the software. In LTVT, under the file menu, there's an option to load an image, which brings up the foreground dialog we're looking at, labeled Personal Photo Calibrator version 0.2. Let's go to the next slide, slide 12. In this slide, we've begun the process of associating two points on the model of the lunar globe to two points on the on your user image. This is done by right-clicking and setting a reference point on each image. Those are the small blue and red crosses that you see superimposed over both the background LTVT model and the user image on the right-hand side. Now let's go to the next slide, slide 13. Now once you've associated a point on the LTVT Clementine image with your user image, there's an option on the calibration screen over on the right-hand side that says copy from main screen. That associates the lunar latitude and longitude, usually for a control point, that you've marked on the Clementine image with a pixel X and Y number, row and column number, on your user image. Let's go to next slide, slide 14. Once those two associations are done, LTVT will do a two-point rotation rectification of your image. You can actually toggle between the lunar image and the Clementine image, and verify how close the match is. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 15. Once you've rectified the image, the rectified JPEG image inside LTVT can be exported and also saved as a JPEG. Let's go back to the previous slide, which is slide 14. Not shown on the screen in the lower right-hand corner of LTVT is a button that just says Save Image. Again, it's very easy to use software, very straightforward process. Let's go to the next slide, slide 15, and then scroll forward to the next slide, which is slide 16. Now, the next step in the overall process is to collect information about your image and ephemeris data. Again, LTVT has a number of information displays that are helpful in this process. The traditional tool that's used is Jameson's Lunar Tool Kit from 1997. It's an older DOS text type program. For what I would call quick and dirty work, I like to use the numbers out of LTVT. Jim's program downloads a high accuracy ephemeris file from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, depending upon the date that your image was taken, and it seems to put out fairly accurate data. There's also an option when you right-click and at any point in the lunar surface, it will draw the relative direction of the lines to the lunar terminator and also to the lunar north pole. In the cursor position information box, which is circled in red on this slide, you'll note that it reports the sun angle and sun azimuth. So you click on your lunar dome once you have your image rectified, and then it will report to you what the solar altitude and azimuth is for the feature. Let's go to the next slide, slide 17. There's a lot of data that you have to collect that's used later in the process. For example, when you're computing your digital elevation model using the spreadsheet that's presented here. There's a list of data and that's shown on this slide. Also, there is in the training material a file, text file labeled image data. And that file contains a full text list of the type of information that you want to gather. Some of the ephemeris data has to be collected from software sources. We just talked about using LTVT to do that, to gather the solar altitude and the AZ on the moon. LTVT will give you estimates of the feature position, its lunar latitude and longitude. LTV, however, will not report the observer's sub-Earth lunar latitude and longitude. For that, you have to go to other packages like Jameson's Lunar Toolkit, the JPL Online Horizons. Ephemeris program gives that information, and let's go to the next slide, which is slide 18. Another popular program is the United States Naval Observatory's Multi-Year Interactive Computer Almanac. And a couple of the screenshots from the Interactive Computer Almanac shows you the sub-Earth latitude and longitude, as well as the latitude and longitude of the lunar terminator. Now let's go to the next slide, slide 19. Now, of course, once you have collected your ephemeris data, you'll need to do some reduction. Jameson's toolkit will do most of the reductions for you. That's what I recommend that you do. There's a calculator sheet inside the spreadsheet demcarlotto method.xls that's presented here. That, for example, from the current that you can use to perform some of those reductions. So, for example, you'll need to find the image scale. You'll need to take the current observer lunar sub-latitude and sub-longitude, the lunar latitude and longitude of the feature to determine the solar altitude of the sun at the feature. You'll need to find your image scale that's shown here. We're not going to go into any depth for doing that. Most people have their own tools. See what's available, and you'll have to work through some problems to find some examples in order to get comfortable doing the reduction. Let's go to slide number 20. Slide 20, we begin the next step in the process, which is converting your source image, which will be a color JPEG or a color FITS, and turning that into an 8-bit grayscale image. Everyone has their own favorite astronomical processing program. The working example here is based on my preference of AIP for Win. Again, just find the corresponding feature inside the image processing package that you like to use. For AIP for Win, there's a simple menu option, color, split color, turn color to grayscale. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 21. And then in the next step, once we have the image converted to grayscale, we're going to save it as a 8-bit grayscale FITS image. And let's proceed to the next slide, which is slide 22. Then the next processing step, now that it's grayscale, is to rotate and crop the image so the apparent solar azimuth is 270 degrees. Then you want to resave your image one last time as the 8-bit grayscale JPEG, I'm sorry, FITS file. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 23. Now that we have an 8-bit grayscale FITS file that's properly rotated, so the apparent solar azimuth is 270 degrees, we're going to use the next piece of software, which is Hirsack's FE Tools freeware program. This is very easy to use. You want to open up your file on using the Open File dialog. And let's go to the next slide, which is slide 24. Once the file is open, the FE Tools program simply displays another information dialog called titled here Summary of Cauchy Omega.fits. And you have three buttons on that middle dialog window. One button is labeled Header, Image, and Table. If you press the Header button, you see the FITS header. If you press the Image button, you see a picture, you see the image itself. If you press the Table button, it will open, FE Tools will open up a new dialog box which contains the pixel values for all the rows and columns in your image. In scientific notation, you'll note all the first entry on row 42 is 1.43 times 10 to the second power, which is 143. All the values that you'll see inside that information window when you open it up on your desktop as you're working along with this presentation will be between 0 and 255. Now, exporting it to text is again a very simple matter. On the table view of the image, just go File, Export as Text, and let's go to the next slide, which is slide 25. But another export dialog pops up. This one, it's shown in the lower right-hand portion of the screenshot. This one's kind of nice. It has some options where you can crop the data that you grab by either rows or columns. And it's got only one simple button that says Save in order to create your export file. Let's proceed to the next slide, which is slide 26. Now that you have a comma separated value or CSV file that contains your image converted to text data, we're going to start the workflow where we take that text data and move it into demcarlotto method.xls, the spreadsheet that's the subject of this presentation. I find it, although it is possible to directly import the CSV files into demcarlotto method.xls, I find that it's a little cleaner and less error-prone if you create a temporary Excel worksheet that can then be copied into demcarlotto method.xls. So, starting that process on the next slide, which is slide 27, you just open your CSV file, the one that you just created with HearSax FE Tools. With it, Microsoft Excel, that'll launch the text import wizard. I'm assuming that if you have this level of interest in astronomical image processing, enough to try to undertake shape from shading, you probably already are fairly skilled with Excel. If not, we'll just do a quick review of the import wizard. This is the first screen of the import wizard, which is asking you the type of information. It's delimited. It's a comma-separated value file, a file that where the values are separated by commas. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 28. You have to click a button in the step 2 dialog of the text import wizard that tells it the data is separated by commas, and now you can see the preview pane has all the data nicely lining up by rows and columns. And let's go to the next slide, which is slide 29. Once you complete the text import wizard, you have all of your information from your image and its pixel values now stored in scientific notation. Let's go to next slide, which is slide 30. Personally, I find it a little hard to read, so I select all of those cells and convert them into an integer display. And off the menu bar in Excel, that's form. You would highlight all the cells, and then the menu bar go format cells, and then there's the tab for formatting numbers. Again, basic Excel operation. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 31. The next step in the overall process is we need to take this spreadsheet and save it, and then copy it into demcarlotto method.xls. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 32. So let's begin by you want to save your CSV text file that you've been working on in Microsoft Excel as an Excel workbook, and that is shown in the lower center portion of the screenshot on this slide. Let's go to slide number 33, which is the next slide. Let's take a pause for a bit. If you've been working along on examples, you've the example for Cauchy Omega, you're going to end up with a directory with a lot of files in it. So let's review what files we've created to date. You began with the original FITS file, which is CauchyOmega.FITS. Then you created, using LTVT, a 8-bit rectified grayscale JPEG file. And that file was then resaved back as a grayscale FITS file. Typically, I overwrite the source at that point. That FITS file is then opened up inside FE Tools and converted into a CSV comma delimited text file. That's Cauchy Omega T0.txt. And what we just did was save that CSV text file as an Excel worksheet, which is the file in the lower left-hand corner of the screenshot labeled Cauchy Omega T0.xls. The file in the lower right-hand corner of this screenshot contains your notes on the image and the ephemeris data that you collected earlier in this presentation. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 34. Now, the next step is to take our temporary Excel worksheet that contains your image pixel value map and then move that into demcarlotto method.xls. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 35. Now, the first thing you need to do is to open demcurlatomethod.xls. Here I've positioned the worksheets so that I'm at the first storage worksheet. If you're not sure what the storage versus the working image pixel maps worksheets are inside demcurlatomethod.xls, go ahead and review part 2, which discusses the parts of the spreadsheet. Let's go to slide 35. Now, with demcurlatomethod.xls open, now go ahead and open your working image pixel map. This, the example is for Cauchy Omega T0.xls. And we're going to begin the process of copying a worksheet in Excel in one spreadsheet into a second spreadsheet. Again, this is basic Excel operations, but we'll go ahead and do the review process for those who may not use Excel on a daily basis. The first step is to right-click on the tab in your temporary worksheet, Cauchy Omega T0.xls. Right-clicking pops up a dialog with an option for move and copy. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 37. The next or first step in the move and copy a worksheet dialog allows you to set the target. In this instance, there's a drop-down, and instead of copying that within our current spreadsheet, which is Cauchy Omega T0.xls, we're going to copy it to another Excel spreadsheet, that's demcarlottomethod.xls. Note there's also a radio button that you need to make sure that you click that says create a copy. If you leave that empty, it will move your data into demcarlottomethod.xls and remove the worksheet from your temporary working sheet. You want to copy it, you don't want to move it. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide number 37. The next step in the move or copy worksheet dialog inside Excel asks you, you're going to move it to the spreadsheet, demcarlottomethod.xls. Where do you want to put your worksheet? Inside the target spreadsheet. Here we're going to take our temporary working data and put it in front of the image information log. That's useful to copy it to that location because then you can toggle between the data and the image info log, which you're going to update momentarily. So once you've selected a position of where you want to do long-term storage of your images pixel data, press the OK button shown on the screenshot here, and then we will proceed to slide 39, which is the next slide. On slide 39, we now have our temporary working data has been copied into demcurlatomethod.xls as its own independent worksheet. It's a good time to save demcurlatomethod.xls and go back and close out your temporary worksheet. The next thing you want to do, the next step in the process, and let's go to the next slide, which is slide 40, is you want to rename that that storage worksheet to something that's meaningful to you. Again, you just right-click on the worksheet tab, use the rename feature. This is just basic Excel operation. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide number 41. Here I've renamed our temporary working data to something that's a little more meaningful, again, for long-term storage. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide number 42. And the next step in the process is to update the stored image information log inside demcarlottomethod.xls with data that you need to recompute the dem. I suggest that, well, what the log is intended to do is to provide you a place to collect all this information. So when you want to regenerate a DEM, a digital elevation model, using the spreadsheet at some point down the future, you have everything encapsulated inside demcarlottomethod.xls. So if you're working along, I'd go ahead and open up your image data and create a new line in the image info log tab, and go ahead and store your data on your image and the solar, the ephemeris data that you collected, the solar angle, the image scale, etc. Let's proceed to the next slide, which is slide number 43. Now, once you have your information inside demcarlottomethod.xls, you usually want to then go on to generate a digital elevation model, or DEM. That was covered in the presentation part 2 on the parts of the demcarlottomethod.xls. I'd go ahead and refer to that earlier presentation to review the prior steps in the process. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 44. Okay, let's review what we learned. The image has to be rectified and rotated so the apparent solar azimuth is 270 degrees. Your rectified image has to be converted to a grayscale image. Then the grayscale fits is converted to CSV text data using HearSack's FV tools. The comma separated value text data is imported into Excel and into a temporary working worksheet and spreadsheet, and then finally that temporary worksheet with your image pixel value map is moved for long-term storage into carlottodemmethod.xls. That brings us to the end of part 3. This covers all of the basic operation topics. Again, part 1 discusses of the training presentation slideshows, discusses the theory behind shape from shading using Carlotto's simplified method. Part 2 covers basic operations of the spreadsheet demcarlottomethod.xls, how to generate a DEM, how to take that digital elevation model and create various forms of 3D output. Part 3 is the front end of the, which you've just worked through, is the front end of the process, which involves taking your lunar image and turning it into a format that can then be imported into demcarlottomethod.xls. That's the end of the training series, and happy lunar imaging, and hopefully we'll see some 3D renderings in VRML posted on the web as a result of your study efforts.